105 Drive with Julian Clover.
It is 5:29 on a Thursday afternoon. Visual arts organisation Oblique Arts is working with Cambridge City Council on the Mill Road mural. It's a community art project that will install the mural on hoardings surrounding vacant land between 300 and 350 Mill Road. And I'm pleased to say that the project manager, Rob Birch, is with me in Gwydir Street this afternoon. So thanks very much for coming in, first of all, Rob.
That's my pleasure.
So tell me a little bit, really, about this particular stretch of the Mill Road. I always have difficulty remembering where the numbers are. So whereabouts, what's a landmark that people would know?
Well, yeah, you're quite right. It's the forgotten end of Mill Road. It's where the mosque is going to be built.
Okay.
There's two developments down there. One is the mosque, and then there's another one, I think it was owned by the co-op, and it's now being developed. It was going to be student housing, but everybody's not happy with that, so they've kicked up a fuss, and now they're discussing whether it should be mixed use. So it's down the far end near Brookfields Hospital.
Okay, so is this going to be a permanent feature or something which might disappear as development takes hold?
It's going to be temporarily permanent. The story is that when the mosque is built and obviously and the land is developed, the hoardings will come down and the mural, as it was going to be, will no longer exist. But having talked to the mosque people and the developers, because there is a delay on the actual building actually starting, they could be up for years. And so when I say sort of temporarily permanent, it could be there for a long, long time. And the other thing is that a number of the boards will be taken down and then recycled and used in schools and whoever else wants them. We won't be wasting them. We will be looking for people to take them on because it's going to be, you know, very brightly painted. And
so there'll still be a life once it's done.
That's the plan.
Has it been decided what's actually going to go on these murals yet?
It's in the pipeline. I've actually just finished the designs for the actual mural. We did a series of workshops with different groups in Cambridge. We have seven artists who all run a workshop each.
I guess I better give them a name check, actually, so
oh,
I know
right.
who they are. I might have a list in front of me if you get stuck.
It is. It's Katie McDonald. It's Sadia Khan, I think her second name is. Jill Grimshaw, Jill Eastland, Helen Judge, Rebecca Halls. Behind me.
I've got Kay Goodridge, Jane Hellings, McDonald,
yeah.
And also mentioned for Matthew Williams. Matthew's with Timbertech Construction. Who are they?
Timbertech is, Matthew actually lives opposite the site, and he's got a building company called Timbertech, and he's very keen on anything that's to do with the community as well. So he offered up his services as regards to repairing the boards, getting them good to go, and actually has just emailed me today saying that the gates, which were in quite a bad state of disrepair, are now being repaired and are ready to be primed and ready for painting.
Oh, so that sounds pretty good. So support from Timbertech. Who else is getting involved? I'm thinking about the financing here. It's like people obviously giving their time for nothing, but you know still cost.
Well,
still need materials.
Actually, they're not giving it for nothing. Everybody's getting paid.
Oh, right. Okay.
What happened was is Kerry Littlechild, who's the Mill Road coordinator, approached me as a member of Oblique Arts and said, "Would we be interested in getting involved in the project?" And we said yes on the proviso that we, first of all, we ran it properly in terms of funding. So artists got paid to do the work that they have done. And secondly, that we did act as project managers. So I'm not actually involved in the actual design in terms of putting my own work in. This has come from the other workshops, which she agreed to do. So once that was done, Oblique Arts put in the funding application to the Arts Council, and we got £9,000 from them for running the project. And then there was some more money from the City Council. And then Ridgeons, God bless them, given us materials. A bit of a mix-up what kind of materials they're going to give us, but we're going to get some paints and some various bits of safety equipment.
Can you put a number on the total value of the project when you add it all up?
It's £11,000, and most of that goes on materials. The artists are getting paid a good amount of money, but you know it's not a vast amount of money. It's the going rate, and in fact, they have done a lot of work, as I have already, for unpaid, because it's obviously a massive project. I mean, there's over 100 metres of hoardings to be painted, so the design process has dragged on. And when we actually do the painting, they're down to do 4 days each. but it's going to take a lot longer than four days.
I suppose one of the challenges is, you mentioned that lots of people are involved in these workshops, is getting something which looks like a cohesive work of art as opposed to half a dozen different things all going off in different directions.
Which is where we came in. That was our remit. Yes, we didn't want it to look like seven different, because we've got eight artists, I beg your pardon, eight different paintings on eight different sections of board. So that's when we got the workshops, and we had a couple of meetings with the artists where we pulled all the imagery together, and we basically laid it out on the floor. We had different groups from Jimmy's Night Show, I think it was Ridgefield School, couple of women's aid shelters, Lifecraft, and they all did something slightly different. So we laid out all the different pieces that they'd done, and then we put it together as a collage, which was then photographed. And then I got the photographs from which I've now worked up the design. So you've got a bit of everything all over, so it does hang together. And we've sort of got a unified colour scheme. And, yeah, there's some interesting stuff. And the only thing we do need to do is we need to run it past the Moss Project, obviously, because we don't want to be making any cultural faux pas, you know, do something that we shouldn't do through ignorance rather than anything else. So once they've given us the OK, which they should be, hopefully it'll be within a week or so, and then we can begin to...
So you could be up and running within the next couple of weeks.
Well, we did say the 21st, which is next Wednesday. We've got a little bit of priming more to do, which is just painting the boards white with the primer. I'm sort of aiming, hopefully, if the artists are out there listening to me, can we do that on the 21st, please?
Yes, hurry up, guys.
but, yeah, we will get that going, and then once that's all done and we've got the OK from the mosque, the other developers are not that. But they may have a say, I'm not quite sure.
We're heading for some grand unveiling that might take place in the summer?
Yeah, we'll have a big opening. And what we'd like to do is that whilst we're down there, obviously people will see us doing it. We want people to come and get involved. It's a community arts project. Now, we've had different groups, obviously, get involved, which we're very happy about. But at the same time, we would like local people to come down. And it's just basically, it's just painting, just filling in the gaps. You don't have to be a great artist or a great painter or have any experience. There'll be artists on site who will be able to guide you, and we just want to get as many people down there as well. And the idea is they get to share in the project.
They can point to it and say, look, I did that bit down the corner. That was me.
That little funny character down there, and that's exactly it. And it is a huge project, like I say, and there is all variety of different imagery, different stuff from different workshops, and it should be something for everybody.
If somebody does want to get involved and help in all of that, what's the best way to hook up with you and the rest of the project?
Best way is through Facebook.
Okay.
We have a Mill Road Mural Facebook page. Just hit it up, look at it, like it. And when you tick the like button, any notifications that we were put up there will automatically come through to your own feed. So if you use Facebook, that's probably the most convenient. Otherwise, drop me a line at mal@obliquearts.co.uk, and then I'll put you on a list. And then when we've got information that we want to put out to people who have expressed an interest in doing the mural, getting involved, I'll send out a generic email saying, hi guys, we're going to be down there on this day, that day and that day. More than welcome.
Absolutely. Sounds very good, actually. We should probably pop down there ourselves and
please
have a look.
Once,
maybe even paintbrush in hand.
Please
Send Jake down there and he can give you a bit of a help out.
Yeah. I mean, like I say, we're not interested in... I mean, the idea is that we make the best mural as we can, but if we're going to get local people involved, they don't have to feel, you know, oh, because I don't paint, I shouldn't be down there. Even if it's just come down and just, you know, give us some moral support. Everybody be made more than welcome.
That's grand. Well, Rob, thank you very much for coming in to telling us all about that.
And
so, Rob Birch, project manager at Oblique Arts, talking about the new Mill Road mural.
The top five records from Cambridge's hottest musicians, as voted for by you.
Single-digit millions. I like that. It's going to become my new favourite phrase. Right, 3 minutes past 6 o'clock. It's time to take a look at the unsigned chart as we begin another entertainment hour. Hattie along a little later in the hour, film and theatre. And we've got a new entry this week from a band who I guess came to everybody's attention in Cambridge through the Cambridge Band Competition. Their fourth labyrinth, their song, Kings for a While.
The Unsigned Chart on Cambridge 105.
name in my solitude of fears. Million voices from within, cutting through the broken skin, where nothing ever stays the same, and new tomorrow's here. Thunderstorms and laser beams and sun colliding galaxies. Where is a God to help me now? If you can stop this flow, when the days are sad or dreams are far away, to only fight, we are a parallel reality of what we hope would never go. Yeah, yeah. Burning red, there's one way out to leave. There's got to be some better way than wasting years and months and days. It doesn't mean that we forget, but life can be so brief. We made it to the moon and back, but only on a one-way trek. And now it's written in the sky that you were mine. There's no decline. If I could tell a tale or two, there's never been a tale like you. And here we are, have the final line. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We were kings for a while. Yeah.
Fourth Labyrinth, Kings for a While. Fourth Labyrinth are Marcel, Claudia, John and Tom. They won the Cambridge Band Competition 2014. You probably heard it live here on Cambridge 105. And it's kind of a mix of the classic ELO sound, bit of Toto, bit of Queen, maybe mixed in with Radiohead or Foo Fighters. If you like what you hear, you may want to check out their Facebook page, which is simply Fourth Labyrinth, number 4, TH Labyrinth. Labyrinth's not the easiest word to spell, is it? Anyway, let's check out how everybody else is doing in the Unsigned Chart this week.
The Unsigned Chart on Cambridge 105.
So it's week number 108 of the Unsigned Chart. Out go the Staycations, their song Dearest. And in at number 5 comes last week's new entry, Shotgun Stacey, Bad As Me. At 4, Fortunato, Ignite. Number 3, Too Cool Kid, Under Your Breath. 2, The Abstracts, Track 13, which means at number 1, it's Tom Lumley, Every Day.
This is the chart you've been voting for. The Unsigned Chart on 105 Drive.
Wake up every morning, grab my coat and walk out the door. to the place I've always known, the place that's watched me grow. Wave my hand as I walk down the street, seeing the people who believe in me. Go to the pub and see all the locals sat in their chairs, getting very vocal. Very vocal. What if these walls, they just won't move? It's all the same every day. What if these walls, they just won't move? It's all the same every day. Another day spent in the village, in the bars until they finish, never knowing when to leave, giving the barman lots of grief, lots of grief. What if these walls, they just won't move? It's all the same every day. What if these walls, they just won't move? It's all the same every day. What if these walls, they just won't move? It's all the same every day. What if these walls, they just won't move? It's all the same, it's all the same, it's all the same every day.
Tom Lumley, number one in the Unsigned Chart this week. It's called Every Day. You can vote in the Unsigned Chart by going to our website, cambridge105.fm/unsigned chart. There you can see the six songs which are up for the vote. Only five of them will get into the chart. We will update you with the Unsigned Chart as it stands on Monday night's programme, which is going to be hosted by Neil Whiteside. I think it's hosted by Neil Whiteside, is it? No, it's Tim. So I'm getting confused. I'm taking so much time off over the next couple of weeks. I think I've only got about three more shows to do over the next fortnight for one reason or another. Tim on Monday, as Neil the following week. Anyway, Unsigned Chart update will follow at 6 o'clock anyway on Monday night, whoever's presenting. So I should be more...
You can check on the... You haven't got my mic up either.
No, I haven't got... Well, I didn't need to, did I?
You can check on the 105 website schedule.
Can do, yeah.
As with all the shows.
You can.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can do that. It's usually accurate-ish.
Usually. did you check, young man?
Did I check? I didn't. Well, I thought I knew it. I should know who's presenting my own show. Cambridge 105, time to take a look at film and theatre as part of our entertainment hour. Hattie Simpson is here.
Hello.
Sky Keeble isn't. Where is he?
He is learning to be a chef. How exciting is that?
Is he going to cook us something next week and break the food and drink rule again?
That would be both nice and irresponsible.
Always have it outside. Okay, what are we going to take a look at?
So, coming up first, we've got Bad Neighbours. War breaks out when Zac Efron's college fraternity moves next door to Seth Rogen's family in this hilarious comedy from the director of Forgetting Sarah Marshall and The Muppets Movie.
I heard they burned down their last house.
And they were reprimanded for that. We have a very strict three-strike policy at the school. So they have one strike. If they get two more, then they're out.
A strike?
Well, listen, the way I do my job is, you know, I'm always thinking about the headlines, right? So Duke lacrosse team rapes stripper. Bad headline. Fraternity keeps couple awake. That's not really even a headline. I don't even think it would make the local police blotter.
Get ready to read the headline of the century. Extra, extra, baby swallows condom.
That's disgusting.
Exactly.
It's the frat's condom.
I have a headline for this. Fraternity practices safe sex. That's a good headline. I could get a raise off that headline.
I got a headline for you. mean Dean doesn't realize that frat is bad for everyone.
It's really not. It's very poorly worded. I don't think that would ever make it to print. I don't know where you went to school.
I went here, okay? That's why I'm dumb.
That's one of my favourite clips in a long time.
Well, it's had a fairly sort of mixed reviews so far. I'll give you the synopsis, so, you know, set the scene. Mac, played by Seth Rogen, and Kelly Radner, played by Rose Byrne, are a young married couple who've put their wild days behind them. They now have a perfect suburban home when they're raising their where they're raising their beautiful newborn baby girl. But their tranquil life is shattered when a college fraternity moves in next door. At first, they try to play it cool, asking fraternity president Teddy Sanders, played by Zac Efron, to keep the noise down a bit. But the juvenile high jinks and continual partying just carry on. Finally, they snap and call the cops. Retaliation from the frat boys then comes quick and fast. Oh, that's a mouthful of a sentence. Soon everyone is locked into increasingly disgraceful tit-for-tat feuding. Director Nicholas Stoller helms this jaw-droppingly debauched comedy with support from Dave Franco and Christopher Mintz-Plasse as Teddy's underlings. Oh my gosh, frat boys and thick and fast? That's a very difficult sentence to put together. So it's a, well, it's a very lad-oriented film.
You couldn't really tell that almost from the clip. It was sort of quite descriptive.
It is packed with some absolutely hilarious scenes and one-liners, most of which we can't really discuss on air. But if you've seen the trailers, you'll be familiar with the airbags being removed from cars and placed around houses and workplaces, which has a hilarious effect. But yes, plenty of other pranks being played between the two warring parties. There's a lot of classic sort of Seth Rogen improvisation. If you've seen him in other films, there's so many other Seth Rogen films.
Is it kind of 40-year-old virgin ilk kind of?
Yeah, sort of super bad, that kind of feel to it. On the other side, there are some scenes and some jokes, I use that term loosely, that sort of tread very closely to sort of just quite offensive.
Oh dear. What kind of certificate has it got?
I think it's a 15. Oh my gosh, I haven't got that in front of me. I'm sorry. I feel like I've let you down, Julian.
News team, go ahead and check that one.
I flipped my laptop down now.
You have to flip it up again, weren't you?
Right. I'm on the case.
Just careful for airbags as you open it.
Nicholas Stoller, who's the director, has previously worked on Forgetting Sarah Marshall, Get Him to the Greek, The Muppets Movie, and where a lot of his previous films have had that like a solid plot line to it, really good pacing, character development even, this is quite lacking in those kinds of things, and that leaves for quite an unsatisfying ending.
What's Rose Byrne like?
She's lovely. She's lovely in everything she does.
Because I remember her. I remember her from Damages, which is a US TV series. Glenn Close starred in that. I think it ran first couple of seasons at least. Ran late night on BBC One. I think it might still be going, but it's kind of one of these shows which, you know, disappeared off of UK TV, rather like another one we'll talk about later. But she always kind of been quite introverted, really, during that show.
Yeah, she's an interesting one. She's sort of starting to come more to the forefront. We've seen her in Bridesmaids oh my gosh.
And other films.
Yes. One that we reviewed like a few months ago, but she was very good in that.
Okay, I'm sure.
And it's nice to see her with her own accent as well, because she is Australian and she usually plays Brits or Americans. So it's quite nice to... It feels like you're sort of seeing a more... I want to say personal, but I don't think that sort of gets the right message across, because you kind of hope she's not like a character in real life.
Mm.
But But that being said, she is a very good actress, and if she's going for the comedy route, I think it's going to be really interesting to see where she goes with it.
The other thing we have to mention is the title of this film has been changed, and certainly for UK audiences, I presume for European ones.
Yes, yeah, it was released worldwide as Bad Neighbours, but in its home country of America, it is just known as Neighbours.
This is they've changed the name just in case people think it's the long play with Dr. Carl and Susan.
Which, you know, I would definitely be up for a Neighbours movie. That I would be so excited.
But if they called it Neighbours, everybody would be expecting good neighbours.
Yeah, and these are
because everybody
good
needs
neighbors.
Good neighbours.
They do. Yeah.
And they become just good friends.
do you know
how the suburb of Evansborough gets its name?
Go on.
It's an anagram of Neighbours.
No way! Yeah. Oh my gosh! I've been watching it for years! I never picked up on that! Oh my gosh! Revelation!
We're going very off tangent here. My other little favourite Neighbours kind of fact was that you remember the first series of 24?
Yes.
And with a big build-up...
I was possibly a little young,
big,
I'm sorry.
Big build-up of Jack Bauer, and the baddie is revealed to be Dennis Hopper. Then in the second season of 24, there's a big build-up, and the baddie is revealed to be Jim from Neighbours. A very good actor, actually.
Yeah,
he's been in a lot
Neighbours
of stuff.
Has done quite a lot,
yeah,
hasn't
absolutely.
He?
But I'll throw that in.
Anyway, so
where were we? What film are we reviewing here?
Back to Bad Neighbours.
Certificate 15.
Certificate 15, thank you very much. It is sort of very debauchery heavy, if you like. If you're uncomfortable with...
Debauchery?
Yeah, everything the American frat boy stereotype is sort of made out to be, then it might be a struggle for you. A lot of the time it can feel like just a string of sketches and improvised scenes, but ultimately it is a good laugh. We really enjoyed it, and especially if you're a fan of things like Superbad, Get 'Em to the Greek, then you will definitely like this.
Okay, that's good.
So, yeah.
Times?
Yes, I have those too. It's on at Cineworld tonight at 7:45 and 9 o'clock, and at View at 8:15 and 10 past 9. And there are about 8 showings a day over the weekend, so I'm not going to go into too much detail on those, but you can check local listings. Basically, turn up and you'll
so you'll sooner or later you'll be confronted by Bad Neighbours. Okay, thank you. We're going to do Godzilla next. Monster, the Automatic, Cambridge 105, which leads us rather neatly into Godzilla.
Very clever. The iconic movie monster gets a brilliant 21st century makeover in this breathtaking blockbuster.
Are we at full function?
Yes, we are. But perhaps we should be drawing down to be safe.
Take us offline.
Now, Joe, we gotta
do it now. Wind it down.
Denshiro, mi piso runda.
Sandra.
We're turning back. Let's go. Oh, my God. Joe, are you there?
Joe, there's been a breach.
Sandra, listen to me. You need to get out of there.
Run. If there's been a reactor breach, you won't last 5 minutes with or without the suits. Do you hear me?
I hear you. We're coming!
I'll meet them down there myself. Put the safety doors on manual override.
I cannot do that.
Keep the doors open. My wife is still in there.
Oh my gosh. What a cliffhanger. A devastating catastrophe engulfs Japan's Janjira nuclear power plant. I'm failing at the first hurdle. In 1999, 15 years later, US physicist Joe Brody, played by the fabulous Bryan Cranston, remains convinced that a natural disaster was not responsible. He believes there's been a high-level cover-up. His quest for truth reunites him with his Navy lieutenant son, Ford, played by Aaron Taylor-Johnson. Among those drawn into joining their mission are Ford's wife, Elle, and military commander, Admiral Stenz. Japanese scientist Daisuke Serizawa
Bless you.
Thank you. Played by Ken Watanabe, quickly recognises that man's abuse of nature is responsible for the mighty, radiation-enhanced Godzilla and the terrifying foes against which it is now pitted. Made with the endorsement of Japan's Toho Studios, who first unleashed Godzilla in 1954, this stunning reinvention redelivers great characters as well as awesome spectacle. Behind the camera is Gareth Edwards, British director of the acclaimed low-budget hit Monsters.
What do you reckon? Is it worth going?
I think so.
Does Bert Kwok get a role?
What?
Bert Kwok. If you need a Japanese actor, you send for Bert Kwok.
Okay.
Whoosh over the head.
She's too young.
I am. It was my birthday on Friday, actually. So, you know, thanks for wishing me a happy birthday, Julian. Never mind.
I think we did that last week. We had plenty of opportunity.
We did. I went to see McBusted for my birthday. It was the best game of my life. They're amazing. Oh my gosh. Anyway, back to Godzilla, which is equally, if not more awesome than McBusted. I haven't seen it yet because it only came out today, but it is having great reviews so far. Well, kind of mixed, but I think it depends what you're going in for from Godzilla. It has that kind of cult following, you know, people who've seen every Godzilla movie going and absolutely love it, and people who just quite like monster films. So it sort of depends on whether you're going for the action and the set pieces and the tension and the character development, or you're going for the sort of B-movie style, way it's Godzilla again kind of thing.
If you're going in for that kind of Ken Loach style,
yeah,
film, you're going to be left a bit disappointed.
A little bit. Yeah. So yes, I'm very much looking forward to it, and I will give you a proper review next week. Sky is also very much looking forward to it from behind the cooker
when he makes it down from Grantham with his moussaka, of course,
and his macaroni and cheese that he's been cooking today.
Excellent.
I do have to warn you, there is strobing in this film, so if you have issues with strobing and flashing lights, then please bear that in mind when thinking about going.
Okay.
Here's a fun fact.
Hey, go on.
At 100 metres plus, this is the biggest Godzilla yet to grace the movie screens. Whoa!
Thank you.
So, it's showing in both 3D and 2D. You can catch it in 3D tonight at Cineworld at 7:30 and 9 o'clock, and in 2D at 8:15, or in 3D at View at 7:30, and in 2D at 8:30 and 10 o'clock. Again, there are many, many, many viewings over the weekend, and it will be about for quite a while, I would predict. So,
viewings or sightings?
Just like the Loch Ness Monster, we have a Godzilla competition to finish off from last week, don't we?
How exciting!
It's very exciting. A bucket full of Godzilla goodies, which is a euphemism for me. I'm not entirely sure what they are, but two tickets to watch the movie at Cineworld, thanks to our friends there. You just have to answer the simple question, which was Bryan Cranston, who plays Joe Brody in Godzilla, is better known in the role of Walter White, the terminally ill high school teacher turned methadone producer, in which US TV show?
Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad. Whoa! Yes.
That was a tough one.
It was a tough one.
That was a tough one.
Nobody's seen Breaking Bad.
Nobody.
No, I don't think so.
I mean, it's practically indie, so under the radar.
I think it is. You know, cancelled after a couple of seasons by Channel 5. So we have, how many? We just one set of prizes.
One set of prizes.
Okay. Number between 1 and 9, please. Let me bring up my screen. There we go. Number between 1 and 9.
7. Most magical number.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Oh, dear. Well, it's sort of good, it's sort of bad. We have a winner. But it's the person who didn't leave their name. So we have a phone number for them. So if your telephone number...
Well done, telephone number.
Yeah, if your telephone number ends in 182, then it might help for you to send us a text. It will be to your advantage.
It'd be more helpful if we sent them a text, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, if they're listening, that saves me the trouble. but if they don't, then I'll send them a text a little later on and we can get their address. And hopefully after that, they can get their prize.
Isn't it? Anonymous contest.
It's probably one of our most regular listeners. We just nobody could look at it and work out who it was.
Maybe it's Bryan Cranston.
Maybe it is.
Maybe it's Godzilla. got her hands on a phone.
Yeah, very possibly.
Isn't she?
Right, I'm quickly going to...
Big phone.
We'll quickly go do the travel, and then we're going to come back and do theatre.
Theatre, so much of it.
Backward film and theatre, and what do we have coming up in cinema, Hattie?
So, out this week is The Wind Rises, which is the new Studio Ghibli film, which regular listeners will know I'm quite the fan of. So this is a biography of, fictional biography of aeronautical engineer Jiro Horikoshi, who went on to design the A6M1 fighter plane, better known during World War II as the Zero. It's more sort of Grave of the Fireflies up on Poppy Hill than the more fantastical, like Spirited Away, Totoro kind of thing. But you can catch it today at the Arts Picture House at 9 o'clock and tomorrow at 3 o'clock, 5:45 and 8:30. Also coming up, we've got Two Faces of January, Viggo Mortensen and Kirsten Dunst star in a gripping period suspense thriller about a con man, his wife and a young scam artist set in Athens in 1962. And if that sounds good to you, then you can catch it tomorrow when it's released at 10:50, 1:30, 4 o'clock, 6:30 and 8:45 at the Arts Picture House. And next week, we have the exciting X-Men Days of Future Past, the ultimate X-Men cast unite to fight a spectacular war for survival across two time periods. How exciting. And that's released next Thursday. So more information on that next week. And also, Postman Pat the movie.
I've seen the trailer for that.
Oh dear.
I have mixed feelings towards this because I love Postman Pat. When I was a child...
You read it as your favourite book.
Will it deliver?
It's CGI animated and... Postman Pat enters a TV talent show, so...
So nothing like Postman Pat, basically.
Not really.
No.
But that's released Friday the 23rd of May, and we'll have more information on that maybe next week as well. Might check it out.
Okay.
No.
No,
okay. I thought it was a dog.
Time for theatre with Hattie Simpson.
Hello again. Okay, so we're heading back to London in 1913 with the suffragette movement at its height for Her Naked Skin at the ADC Theatre. Emily Davidson has just fallen in front of a horse. Thousands of women of all classes serve time in Holloway Prison in their fight to gain the vote. Prime Minister Herbert Asquith discusses the issues in Parliament, and Lady Celia Kane feels trapped by the policies of the day and a frustrating marriage. In prison, she meets a young seamstress, Eve Douglas, with whom she begins an affair. Passion and politics coalesce as they pursue an erotic and intense affair. Eve is subjected to force-feeding, and slowly their relationship and the sanity of their minds fall apart as Celia uses her position of social privilege to leave prison. Finally, Eve breaks down in prison and Celia leaves her husband, William. This is a play where personal lives intermingle with politics and women struggle to get their voices heard in a patriarchal government. So... quite heavy subject matter.
It's all going on, isn't
yeah,
it?
Following on from Godzilla. But it's received fantastic reviews so far. Beesfist Denenko plays the lead, Celia. We know her name from having directed Tory Boys, which we
talked about last week, no, week before.
Week before, yeah,
okay,
I believe.
2 weeks ago.
And Aoife Kennan appeared in Blue Stockings as well. Aoife plays William Kane, Celia's husband. So it's going to be quite interesting to see how the gender blind casting factors into. A production, you know, centering so heavily on gender issues and privilege and so forth. So it's going to be a very interesting piece of theatre. I'm very excited to check it out over the weekend. By all accounts, there have been a few flaws here and there, but this is definitely a dark, explorative, effective and affecting piece of theatre. There is a warning on it. The performance contains some scenes which audience members may find disturbing. There are scenes of torture, particularly force feeding in the prison. Be aware of that, but if you can handle it, then definitely, definitely check this out. It's also quite poignant as well because it's Mental Health Awareness Week.
Okay.
And it
there's a whole load of issues in there, really, isn't
yeah,
there? There's
obviously
there's the political
heavy.
Aspect, there's the personal aspect, the torture that you mentioned there.
Yep, and romantic then, as well.
And the mental health issues as well, as yeah. well, the anguish of people, arguably... political prisoners, really, of sorts.
Yeah. So there's a lot of strands to this, but it's been tied together really well. So I'm very much looking forward to it. And you can also check it out, running until Saturday the 17th of May at 7:45, with tickets at £12 for adults, £9 concessions. There is an age suitability rating on it of 12 plus. So maybe don't take your kids to see it, I would suggest. So, elsewhere around Cambridge, we've got Bad Advice at the Corpus Playroom at 9:30, running until Saturday. Tickets are £7 and £6. Bad Advice offers a fresh outlook on the dating game. In this new comedy, we watch from within Jim's troubled mind as he struggles to embark on his first relationship since coming out of the closet. So this one's at the Corpus Playroom, always a good place to try out new writing. This is written and directed by Eli Keren as well. We've seen a few pieces of his in the past, very good. Tis Pity She's a Whore at the Cambridge Arts Theatre at 7:45pm, running until Saturday. Tickets are £15, £25 and £30 plus booking fees. This vivid and violent Jacobean tragedy shows a brother and sister's passionate descent into hell. Incest, religion and corrupt morality collide in this sexy and stylish production, according to the Times, making this play as shocking and controversial today as it was almost 400 years ago. So quite a few issues there as well. This also has an age suitability on it of 16 plus and runs at 2 hours with no interval.
That's a long one, isn't it?
Yeah. Also around Cambridge, we have Igor and Moreno, Idiosyncrasy, at the Cambridge Junction at 7:30pm on Tuesday the 20th of May. Tickets are £11 plus £7. £11 and £7 plus booking fees. Idiosyncrasy is the new work from Igor and Moreno, two London-based dance artists making and presenting their work across Europe. Their work is characterised by a strong will to employ a poetic yet political language through the use of the body, voice, text and design to create finely crafted and playful dance works which are in equal parts exciting and uncompromising, poetic and thought-provoking. I've heard there's quite a lot of jumping in this as well, but it should be quite good.
Is it cheerful?
Yes.
That's good.
I believe so.
The others seem to be less so.
Yeah, quite. They've talked about it as they started with wanting to change the world with a performance, and they felt like idiots. Then they danced a lot. We jumped. We called on the folk traditions of Sardinia and the Basque Country. We sang. We jumped some more. We committed. So it's going to be quite an interesting piece of theatre, but definitely good fun. Definitely worth checking out. Also, at the Mumford Theatre this week, our lovely Emma is featuring in an evening of Molière, a double bill of the Countess of Escarbagnas.
Yes.
Yep. And the Pretentious Young Ladies, running until Saturday the 17th at 7:30. Tickets are £10 for adults, £8 concessions. Set against the background of the Parisian Moulin Rouge, Anglo-Ruskin Theatre Society offers an evening of fun, farce and frolics. So again, more fun there.
That's good.
And just really quickly as well, for families, we have this weekend, Sunday the 18th of May, at 11:30am at the Cambridge Junction, you have been cordially invited to Mrs. McMoon's house for an entertaining tea party. Please bring stupidity, madness and fun. Set in the warm surroundings of her cosy old living room where tea is brewing and the smell of freshly baked cookies tickle your nostrils, a cuddle a day keeps the blues away, says Mrs. McMoon. This is immersive, engaging and interactive storytelling. Tickets are £10 for adults, £6 for children and £27 for a family of four, maximum two adults. Tickets from the Cambridge Junction.
Very good. Thank you.
I think that's about it.
That's good. Thank you very much. And you got more and more excited as the hour went on. Really, there. Thank you, Addy. You're back with us next week as well.
Alone again.
Oh, that's a shame. Well, never mind. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
See you next week. Thanks to Jake as well for his contribution to today's programme.